Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and once again, joined by my good colleague and friend to my side, at one Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, the very first of hopefully many Victory Mondays, of course, said tongue-in-cheek, but a lot of good things to talk about from this weekend's Steelers preseason victory. I'll still say victory. 26-20 over the Detroit Lions. How are you doing, my friend? Are you feeling as jovial as I am about everything?
I feel very jovial about the game. As you know, the weekend was a different kind of weekend for me because I had to drop the daughter, the only child, off in college, which is that's an emotional moment. My wife was a little teary. I was just hot and sweaty because it was humid as all get out, and the campus is hugely hilly, and I'm lugging, you know, crates and chests and water all up and down these hills. So
does she have a mini fridge? Does she have a mini fridge? That's the important thing.
She is supposed to have a mini fridge. It hadn't showed up yet. And so the wife is going to be yelling at some mini fridge people today. At campus.
Send them a very stern letter.
I'm not exactly sure where the hell she's going to put it in the room because her roommate had a mini fridge that was her mini fridge, which she then put in a location that made it impossible for my daughter to open her wardrobe. So not only does that need to be moved, but then where the hell is she going to put her mini fridge? I don't know. It's all just wonderful.
Oh, man, the dorm life. I've been in a number of dorms throughout the years, and my comment was, does it have AC? Because the freshmen usually get the crappiest dorms on
campus.
Well,
she's a sophomore, so she was remote last year, sophomore, first year on campus.
So she gets to maybe skip all of the freshman, incoming hazing and whatnot.
There is AC. It just doesn't go below 68.
Yeah, and a lot of those buildings, depending on the campus you're on, are like, they could be older buildings. They're brick.
It is.
It's brick or concrete. Yeah, OD green paint, and reminds me of my old high school. So
my favorite thing about that particular day was so they had this lovely ceremony, candlelight pinning ceremony is how they described it. Oh, it'll be a candlelight pinning ceremony where your student will be welcomed into the university family, and they had a champagne toast and all this stuff. So the way they did it, they had a processional with these bagpipes being played, like a bunch of people playing bagpipes, walking the students up to an area. Then there's some guy, first of all, bagpipes, not well. You can't really ever tell if they're good or bad, right? Because they're always bad. But
easy.
They were so bad that everybody even was going, I think those bagpipes are out of tune even for bagpipes. But they did that. They get the kids up there to the location where they're going to be. And behind them are headless statues. The statues, like multiple statues, I assume, of some illuminaries from the past of the university that's like 100-something years old or whatever, right? They don't have any heads. Like, where the hell are the heads? It's kind of creepy looking, right? And I'm like, with the amount of tuition, you think the statues would have heads? I don't know what the hell the deal is. But anyway, so the penultimate point of this is they broadcast this pinning ceremony as this wonderful ceremony of pinning. And so at the end of it, they got three people cut up there and they say stuff, blah, 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 blah. Students going forward, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to the family, blah, blah, blah. Oh, go get your pins and leave. There's no ceremony. You go walk over, some guy gives you a pin and you walk out.
maybe it's like trick or treat last year was put all the candy out on a table at the end of the driveway. We don't want to deal with COVID and everything like that. So I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, now you know where Brian's been for like the last few weeks, and I'm exhausted from travel. I was in the building, so I got to see the full game, Brian. I didn't get cut off with 5 minutes remaining. Not that there was anything anyone really missed other than
NFL Network, but still. Yeah.
missed an onside kick recovery, which I thought was impossible this day and age. And man, it looked like Keystone Cops out there with the Steelers coverage team. But then again, we'll talk about some guys that are on the bubble. I looked at some of these players. Some people were like, hey, they're looking at the Steelers are looking at them in order to make the roster. And I said, yeah, but I'm looking at it the other way. Like, they maybe haven't done enough, and this was the amount of playing time they got. Let's start chief among them in this game. We got to see if the old man still got it. And I hate people call him an old man. He's the same age as me. That was the one Ben Roethlisberger. I don't feel like I'm getting old, but I don't feel like I'm an old guy. I'm not quite your age yet. Oh, see, I haven't had you on here for a while to do that. See, that was, you see what I did there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how you judge this. The Detroit Lions were a dumpster fire of a team last year. They played a lot of the dumpster fire of their players. You would expect exactly what we got, and that was Ben Roethlisberger, a perfect 158.3 quarterback rating, 8 of 10, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, some sharp-looking plays, some plays that made you also reminisce of last season, which is not a good thing, including the false start to start, the 3 and out, practically, 3 and out. You got James Washington for a short little dink and dunk, that's probably a better word for it anyways. Little 3-yard pass there. There was a Najee Harris run for 8, and you're like, oh yeah, we're getting in gear here. 3rd and 4 after the penalty, started them back, and Eric Ebron drops one that's right in the breadbasket. Presley Harvin, not Percy Harvin. I'm going to have to get used to that, man. It's just embedded BFP. In my brain. Yeah, yeah. Well, BFP. Somebody said BPP. Somebody wanted it to be fat, like with a P, which I don't
I'll
know.
Allow it. I will allow it. I like it. I can go with the modern youths of today and the weird spellings.
I got one for you. We could play off of. I know he's not from Pitt, but it's still Pittsburgh. They get H2P for Hail to Pitt. It could be B2P.
Or how about or triple BP2. P? Pittsburgh's fat punter, Triple P. Triple P.
Might be. You know what? That may actually be better. It might be more. What do you want to say? Not as mean. I don't know. I think calling him fat is still out of line. Out of line. I don't care.
Not. Fuh. I don't know how you pronounce phat versus fat, but fat punter.
I was listening to.
I'm Sylvester the Putty Tat.
I was listening to Adam Crowley and those guys. I think it was Matt Williamson on my ride back after the game. Stuck in stupid traffic because the idiots in Pittsburgh, they must not have been paying overtime or something. They didn't route traffic the way they normally do. So instead of coming out of a lot and being rerouted a certain way and on to 279, they just sent me through every other lot and garage that was emptying, and that was very annoying. And it's like, nope, we let one car through this line, mine, of course, and then 20 through the next one. So they just decide from there. You know, just listening to those guys, I heard you're saying the p-p-p-p sound. I was telling my kid the other day my favorite word. I like to say plethora. You've heard me say it here a lot. Adam Crowley said there was a plethora of things to be happy with in this game, and I was like, you're stealing my thunder, bro. It's like, if any of these guys even paid attention, I don't care. It's more than likely 99.97% coincidence. So, but just in case you hear the word plethora, I'm going to get that trademarked or something. Put it on a shirt, man. Plethora. This was a plethora of last year's mistakes that we saw again. And then all of a sudden it's like first play. Do I even know Boyle's first name? I'm
law?
Like,
oh wait, that's a physics thing. Boyle's law. No, never mind.
Yeah. And that's the Tim Boyle. I like forgot his first name already with all of our ranting. We're back, folks. This is get used to it. We're getting into regular season form now. Tim Boyle, David Blow was the other bloke that was playing later on. You had a completed pass and a first down. And both of the first plays from Detroit were 2 chunk plays for 10 yards. And you're starting to bang things on the sideline, and you're like, what the heck is going on here with all of these shenanigans? And just to talk about the Steelers defense, we got to see Joe Schobert.
Mm-hmm.
What on earth do you have there? You're about to take off someone's head.
It's an ice axe.
I hope that comes in handy. I know there's is the hurricane going to affect your area?
Well, not with ice.
I know that much. I was going to say that's not going to be helpful unless you need to dig out your flooded.
I'm just getting this out for when we get to the zebra conversation later.
Oh, okay. It appears to be black and gold from where I'm sitting too. You found that, and that's the reason you bought it.
I bought it because I needed one. I absolutely needed an ice axe.
No, Brian hiking, just needed something else for his collection. This show's so off the rails. This should be the show we do Thursday night or Friday morning when we have nothing to talk about for the fourth preseason game. But aside, we have much to talk about here. Steelers defense.
Sorry, I distracted you. I'll put it away until we talk about the Zebras.
Well, you do a lot of these things. I think you distract the people on video and the folks that are listening or tuning in, which I have to apologize to. I linked the wrong file to last week's show on training camp notes. So if you're listening to me now, that's been corrected. And yeah, I've been making too many darn mistakes with this show the last month. But then again, I didn't sleep in my own bed for 13 straight days. So you'll understand I've been doing a lot of traveling. I've been gone 18 or 19 days out of like the last 30, maybe more than that. It's been insane, man. So just been on the road and then doing everything remotely gets to be a pain in the butt too.
What is it with you, these references? You just make me I'm like, on the road again. You see, you don't know because again. But before we started the show, I was singing to Joe and he would say stuff like, oh, you know, it's always been on my mind. And I'd be like, it's always on my mind.
Yeah.
Really annoying.
That's not my king. He's a king. He's not my king. You know,
but that wasn't Elvis. It was Willie Nelson.
No, I know, but I brought up Elvis. Well, is Willie Nelson a king of something? Pot or country? Probably.
Pot. Yeah.
Oh boy, we're gonna get in trouble with YouTube making any type of references there. The defense
now legal in many states. Recreational drug.
Yes. Man, we're going to get panned. There's going to be a bunch of new listeners who are like, what the heck did we tune into?
Sorry.
Although the other guys talk about whatever, too, to fill time. So whatever. We're not trying to fill time. It's just we got ants in our pants. We haven't been together for a while here.
Ants in our pants and I need to dance.
Brian, we need to get Stephon Tuitt back out there. That's the only thing missing. I obviously need to get TJ, but I think TJ will be. I'm hoping Stephon's doing okay, death of his brother and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Chris Wormley is getting some quality time out there. Tyson Alualu has been looking good. Cam Hayward's a grown-ass man, as usual. We saw him bully someone. Melvin Ingram is going to be one hell of a rotational player.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to play both sides. He's going to spell Highsmith. Highsmith is just everything that we've been saying as advertised. And when you have Watt out there as a defensive player of the year, and Ingram used to be a pro bowler, I think Ingram's going to get maybe 30 snaps or so. You're going to pull Watt for maybe about 10. Highsmith's probably going to come off for 15 of them at least. I know that's 25, but you get my drift. It'll fluctuate. Yep. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome to see. And I think Wormley adds to this too. You get to see Joe Schobert for the first time. And they were not – I wasn't the only one who made this observation, obviously, but – Devin Bush and Joe Schobert, they just kept them on the field. They weren't worried. I don't know if this is what they wanted to look at this as having both of those linebackers, or they were just short on DBs because Arthur Millette ends up starting as the nickel corner. I saw him on the field. He's waving his hand. He needs to come off at one point, and it was early on. And from that point forward, everyone then made the observation, James Pierre is playing and Cam Sutton's going to be a nickel corner. It's not indicative of Sutton's play. They wanted Sutton to be on the outside. I think Sutton will be there on the outside. Sutton might be playing like every down and moving all over.
Right. Yeah.
Pierre, it's not going to be Pierre's playing on the outside and Sutton only comes in for like 30, you know, one third of the game like Mike Hilton. And then it'll be the other way around. Pierre played a heck of a lot in the game. I'll pull up the snap count here, but he wasn't the starter. Joe Hayden comes out, knocks down a ball, of course. And you had Minka, you had Terrell Edmonds.
That, by the way, that ball was thrown by Jared Goff, right?
Oh, yeah. Man, they weren't the only people who made that mistake. There were people tweeting it, and I was like, did you not realize Goff was on the sidelines? He was like out in front of where I was sitting. I was like, I noticed that right away. It's like, he's not out there. But anyways, this was the starting D for the most part with a couple of exceptions, and I think maybe the Schobert Bush both staying on the field had as much to do with Malik getting hurt. Antoine Brooks has been hurt. He's been icing. I've been mentioning that on the training camp note shows. So they haven't been able to get him on the field. I thought he was practicing this past week. I believe he was getting back on the field. And I thought, oh, he might get some time this week, and they held him off, and he was one of my guys to look for, and there was nothing to look for. So I was a little disappointed in that, but you got to see what may end up happening here week one with Buffalo, because I don't know, those guys, some of the SNR guys, you know, Arthur Motes is in that rotation, and some of the other guys, you know, I'd be remiss to say their names, but they make the been making good points about whether or not Brooks has enough time now to even get in there, because he was kind of handed this job, and now he hasn't been healthy, hasn't been able to get out there, or do the Steelers just do this rotational thing that we were talking about? Quite frankly, for me, I don't know that it matters so much, because I feel pretty good with the way everything is right now. Ingram in rotation and as a depth, Warmly as depth, even with Tuitt, and the way the secondary even looks with James Pierre. I'm very comfortable with the Steelers defense right now, even despite a few snafus against not Jared Goff.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost impossible if you think about it over even the last 3 years, 4 years. You can't judge their defense in the preseason. You just can't.
No.
They're not doing the things that they normally do. All you can really do is say, really like the pressure that Ingram's getting, really like the pressure that Highsmith's getting, really like the activity that those two guys are putting in. You know, they're just – it's, you know, it's vanilla. So we'll see what we really have from that Buffalo game. But I'm not concerned. I'm in the same boat that you're in. I'm not concerned. There's been enough history. There's enough for what you do see that actually it looks like this defense could even be better than last year. You know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, you know, chop some ice, whatever.
I wish I had something cool counterpart. I do, but I don't have it here with me, and it's a fall decor item, but I digress. That's still
yeah. I'm really very encouraged to see where they go, and I don't know, you know me, I like my linebackers, I like my defense, I like my sacks. They're going to be a S ton of sacks this year. Yes, there are. They're going to, I mean, we're talking potentially record-breaking sack-type numbers for this team. It's going to be crazy, I think.
But how can that be, Brian? We've got the Steelers have the hardest schedule in the NFL, the hardest strength of schedule. That can't possibly happen when
sure
you're
can.
Playing against, well, I don't know, the Bills. Allen's a little mobile. They will get after Derek Carr. They will get after
yes.
Joe Burrow. He might get rid of the ball. I don't know how well his recovery is coming along. Aaron Rodgers. Whoever the heck plays with Denver, eh. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will get sacked.
Yeah.
They're still trying to repair the line there. Even though he's mobile, sometimes it's to his own detriment and adds to that stat line. He's been the most sacked quarterback. He's what Ben used to be labeled as. And then, of course, you got Baker Mayfield, whoever plays for the Bears. By week nine, that could be Justin Fields this point. You get to see the Lions again, Herbert and the Chargers, Bengals, Ravens, Vikings, yeah. Titans, yeah. Mahomes and the Chiefs, yeah, maybe. They'll get up to their quarterbacks enough. They got enough mobile guys, too, that'll get stopped behind the line that I don't know that that's too much of a hot take, so to speak. And also with the mobile quarterbacks, that tends to lead to injuries too in some cases. So
yep.
They could have some backups playing, but not to be too facetious here. There's a lot of other good things. We're just talking defense there. I don't know that we go through every single thing, but we did have two drives that ended in who I said to look out for. I said, you know, most of you that may have not gotten to see practices and you didn't really see this in pregame, my thing wasn't to watch Ben. My thing was to watch Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Ben pump faked the camera on the TV. I got to upload this. I got it on
was
camera.
Was that not classic? That was like classic. Maybe even above classic. That was like the pump fake where you just – it's the same kind of nonsense that's happened every year where if the announcers were, you know, the main announcers on, oh, I don't understand how he could possibly hold the ball. And it should have gone out of his head and right down the field. It's amazing. It's like glue, sticker. I don't get it.
He's got like 13-inch hands.
But he's been doing it. Yeah, he's been doing it forever. But, man, that was a pump fake to end all pump fakes.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I'm in the end zone. I got that on video, man. So maybe people didn't actually catch it for the highlights. I got it. It's funny. The guy next to me, I was telling him, I'm like, there's only one place this ball is going. And that's where it went. And then when they came back the other way again. So that was 9 plays, 82 yards, by the way. 11-yard touchdown.
Before you even get to that, was even though it was slightly underthrown, was that not a pretty pass to Deontay Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was on the second one. That's where I was getting to. But see, in some of that, I'm talking about Ben's arm strength. Now you got all the bandwagoners back on. Particularly, I'm talking about the media heads, the national media heads. Oh, he looks like vintage Ben Roethlisberger, this and that. It's always been touch passes and stuff like that. Yeah, he's laying it in there. He wants to make sure he gets it. Deontay, he had beaten the brakes off of whoever was covering him. And it would have been a TD maybe if it was
led him just a little bit more. Yep.
But it's not like Ben isn't capable of throwing him around. He's had some lasers here or there. I mean, the Freiermuth pass.
The second one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 8 yards out. The Deontay Johnson is looking for the play here. Well, you also had the big play with Najee Harris, too. So
yeah, but that was more Najee than it was Ben.
Yeah, it was, which we saw later also with Ray McCloud as well. Oh, I'm sorry. It was on the first touchdown drive, the 43 yards, third and three.
I sometimes know stuff.
Imagine if this fails. I had to pull the pen back out, and it throws everything out of focus, which is just awesome with the camera. But imagine if this falls flat, and this is Todd Haley as the OC. Get rid of this bum, like this and that. But when it works, man, it works. And by the way, speaking of which, I guess Matt Canada was up in the press box, too, and calling from the press box. So something a little different that we haven't seen since, I don't know, Kevin Gilbride or somebody like that. I mean, it's been a long time. I don't even think Ken Wisenhunt. Was Wiz ever up in there? We're going back to Cower days. They never used to show guys. I know they sent Haley up there after he got in a fight with Ben on the field. But that's a little different. It's just keeping these guys separate. Like, we could shut the headset off. Shut up, Todd.
Went to detention.
Yes. The Johnson play. I mean, that was you're staring down third and three, and you're like, are they going to go three and out again? And if they would have, man, the narrative on this game would be a lot more miserable, wouldn't it? But Najee, as I said, I wanted to see both of these rookies. In fact, this whole rookie class is pretty phenomenal so far when you take a look at it. Dan Moore Jr. comes in at some point. So the starting offensive line was more of a semblance of the starting offensive line. The game starts left tackle Chukwuma Okorafor, Kevin Dotson at left guard, Kevin Green at center. Right guard was Trey Turner. He played longer than Zach Banner did at right tackle. Right tackle Dan Moore comes in where we've been told, or so we hear, Chooks is better at left and Dan's better at left. I don't know if they're kind of babying Banner in his knee or if they're evaluating Dan Moore here, but Dan Moore, according to the Pro Football Effery, I really want to call him that because you just never know. Like when I like what they put up, I'm like, oh, look, they know what they're talking about. And when they don't, it's like, man, what are they talking about? Player with the most pass blocking snaps while allowing zero pressures this preseason is a one Dan Moore Jr., number 65, rookie, fourth round pick. Is he from the Texas A&M?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe so. If I got that wrong, sorry. He's somewhere in Texas. But, Dan Moore's getting out there. And then I believe B.J. Finney comes in a little bit later and spells Trey Turner. We got to see a little more Rashawn Coward at left guard, probably more than I saw with Joe Hague. I think Coward is a bubble player here as far as the roster. We're going to talk about this specifically later in the week after we see all the guys that don't play. In this fourth game, I think all the guys who don't play pretty much have a roster spot that's safe. And I also think looking ahead to that, too, the quarterback mix, it's going to be at least one half of Josh Dobbs, who I also right here, not just the hat rack. I said Dobbs wasn't going to play in this game, and some people were disappointed. They're disappointed with the snap shares, too, with the quarterbacks, but I'll get to that here in one moment. They start with a two tight end set. They also they introduced both Ebron and Freiermuth as part of the pregame introductions. That was pretty cool. Pretty good ovations for everyone. Shame on all the folks when Mason Rudolph finally comes in after the second drive. Mason Rudolph now a quarterback with kind of a mix of starters. Juju played some weird time, too. They got Anthony Johnson in there. They got Cody White in there at some point. So it wasn't always just first-team wide receivers. They were looking at Zach Gentry pretty hard throughout this game as well, I believe. I think he could be a bubble guy. You know I love Raider, but let's face it, still, he's got an uphill battle. He's a guy who walked onto the team basically undrafted, journeyman. He was with the Packers camp originally and been with the Steelers, what, his third camp there now. And so while I still love him and he's like one of my alma mater guys, realistically, you know, does he make it? And they had like all three of them. They've had three tight ends that I noticed. It may have been Baugh, who's the guy on the bottom of this chart, playing on special teams at one point as well. So they're trying to see, like, hey, can Gentry play special teams? And Gentry has impressed me more. It looks like he's developed. But anyways, the second drive, Steelers go up 14-0, four plays, 58 yards. And let's see. Maybe we'll get to this. There was good and bad here. The referees get involved in this game now. John Hussey, you got your weapon of choice there. And we've got intentional grounding. I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on because it took them forever to sort it out over there. And of course, they did. Was he in the tackle box? Yada, yada. Did it reach the line of scrimmage? Okay. All right. I get it. There was a false start on Darren Fells. And then there was offensive holding. So all of those were good toward the Steelers side here. These were all on Detroit. Later on, maybe not so much. But this is right after this drive is when Mason Rudolph ends up coming in. And people boo him. Anthony McFarland runs for 1 yard on the first play. Then Mason connects back with him for 12 yards. And they start to put some stuff together. Juju's involved. So he gets a pass to Juju that's good for 7 yards. They lose a yard. Eric Ebron for 14 totally redeems himself, and he does throughout the game. A short pass to Kalen Ballage. We'll talk about the running backs here in a second, too. And this was a Ballage show from here because he runs for 5, runs for 3. Rudolph goes to try and hit Juju Smith-Schuster, does not hold on to it there in the end zone. I think Turf Monster gets him as he doesn't really survive the ground with the ball. I had a bad angle from it. I was looking at it from behind. So
he wasn't catching that ball.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
It would have been a really unbelievable catch. And I'm not sure. Looked like he got both knees down on that catch. Like it's the one you're talking about. But
yeah,
I don't think it's not the turf that bought it. It got him. It just was. It wasn't well placed, but I think it was placed where it had to be placed. But just not a good spot for him to try and catch it.
That's he was inbounds. There was enough room for him inbounds to have feet down. But the big thing here was I thought maybe the defender also got a hand on it. Like I said, I'm looking at it through the back of jersey numbers and stuff, so not the best. But Chris Boswell, 35-yard field goal. Let's just bring up
the Boz.
Well, we had – I'm going to let you rant on the referees here for a second because we could talk about some of these other things. Some of these other drives. I mean, you had a 14-play, 93-yard drive here with – and Mason kind of gets bailed out on the face mask deal. He gets whapped at the end there. But you have Ebron with the 27-yard catch as part of this. There's a handful of good things. They went on 4th-and-1, the 2-minute drill here, and he finds Juju, and then Juju catch and run. So they moved the sticks. They got beyond the chains, 4th-and-1. I'm like, oh, geez. They're going to bring out Benny Snell, who did not play. He's still nursing injuries. But I'm like, this is where Randy Fickner would have brought out Benny Snell and put Ben under center and alerted everyone in the stadium that it was going to be a run play.
Yeah.
So, but I think some of the criticisms here, I mean, you've got Rudolph, who had 14 plays. This was 14 plays, 93 yards. He comes back out in the third quarter as well. They can't punch it in. Kalen Ballage. doesn't get there on a couple of plays. Ray McLeod incomplete in the middle, another field goal, a lot of work for Boswell. The same can be said when Haskins ends up coming out too. There's a lot of mix of good and disappointment. 10 plays, 42 yards. And where do we go from here? Quarterbacks, maybe. I got to put this out there, and this is something I haven't discussed on the show yet. A lot of people that were hype on Haskins. Again, if nothing against Haskins, nothing against Rudolph. This is a very good situation for the Steelers, because if one guy doesn't work out, maybe the other does. And then you have both who have, they have some form of upside. Like I said, they both courted coming out of college. Obviously, Haskins more than Rudolph, especially with Ohio State, especially being a first-round pick. But Haskins played in the first two games, 72 snaps to Rudolph's 35. And then we had on Saturday night, Rudolph finally played more. He played 32, still not as much. He still didn't play as many. That was only 67. He still didn't get to Haskins 72 for the first two games. Haskins got 16, playing 88 to 67 reps through that whole time. But these guys are like neck and neck. And I understand the narrative coming in was Rudolph didn't lead any scoring drives. Well, aside from a free play, busted coverage, touchdown pass, Haskins hasn't thrown a touchdown pass aside from that either. He led one other drive. Nothing against that. Again, but we're looking at Haskins has had 66.7% completion percentage and Rudolph has had 75. Ben had 80, but Ben only threw 10 passes here over the whole course of the preseason. Haskins has 271 passing yards to 299 with Rudolph. Rudolph has a little bit more yards per attempt, 8.3 to 6.5. You have the one TD for Haskins. They've both taken a sack. The ratings here, 92.5 for Haskins, 99.2 for Rudolph. That's what you want out of your backup quarterbacks. I like what I see there. I think there's, I made this comment somewhere in one of the Facebook groups. I said this backup quarterback competition, there is no competition. The Steelers have never come out and said there was any competition. It's all created by folks like maybe you or I, Brian, clicks, views, everything like that. And that's the only place where this has gotten any type of legs. Otherwise, there's never been really whether you want it, you like it or not, there's not like a competition. They're just evaluating both of these guys, maybe for the future, and we don't even know that they'll end up playing another year from now. So it's kind of like I'm done with the conversation. This game Thursday against the Panthers ain't going to mean anything either, because it's going to be the Josh Dobbs show and a bunch of guys that probably won't be on the roster a few days after that.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I agree with the Josh Dobbs show. I think Rudolph and Haskins will both get some snaps in this game.
Just no, they will. It won't be a lot. If it's like 15, 16, the same kind that Haskins just got, a quarter at best, and I don't see Haskins doing first team, I'd be very surprised to see, other than like the rookies, couple second-year players.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not going to play.
It always is. Yeah. I think it's a competition in the minds of the folks who wanted to push that narrative. Bouchette has pushed it a little bit. A couple other people from the beat writers have pushed the idea that there's a competition. I don't think there's ever been a competition. I think Mason Rudolph has been the number two from the get-go. That we all said the only reason that there'd be a competition is if Haskins had a Josh Dobbs-like preseason when it was Dobbs and Landry. And that didn't happen, right? He has had a solid preseason, but so has Mason. Neither one of them has blown the other one's doors off, right? So there's no reason to think that the pecking order has changed at all. It's Ben, Mason, and then Haskins. That's the way it is. Dobbs is going to be the odd man out, but I don't think that was a surprise, at this point. You just don't know. Look, Haskins is still young. He's going to learn. Mason is still young. He's going to learn. Which one of them has more upside? I don't know. Yeah, if I'm jumping on a team, I may be Team Haskins over Team Rudolph, but only because my hope is Haskins has more upside in my mind. Maybe, but I'm not even sold on that. Other than we all know. I don't hate Mason. Let me restate this. I don't hate Mason Rudolph. I just don't think he's a NFL franchise quarterback. That's it. That's my only thing. So,
and that's fine. And regular season numbers with these guys, Rudolph had 9 starts in his career. And he's had some additional appearances, as has Haskins. Haskins has officially 13 starts. Haskins has 444 attempts in his career, probably about 120 more-ish than Mason Rudolph. So he's going to have more. He has more yards, like 800 because of that, about 200 yards per game started, which, you know, isn't a whole lot for, but for rookie quarterbacks, you're probably not asking them to throw a whole lot. The biggest thing here is that they're almost neck and neck completion percentage, 61.7 for Rudolph, 60.1 for Haskins. They're both, as long as they're above 60, I'm liking that. Mason actually has more touchdown passes and fewer interceptions, 15 to 10, as opposed to 12 and 14. People are going to say, well, Washington football team, this and that. Still have Logan Thomas as a tight end. That's your safety valve, if anything.
Terry McLaurin.
And that was a teammate. That's an Ohio State guy that they have chemistry with. So it's not like they had complete scrubs there. I understand you change coaches and things of that nature, whatever. And the yards, average air yards, Rudolph edges them by a half yard, believe it or not, even with the Randy Fickner funky offensive play calling, 5.9 to 5.4. But it's... It's the narrative of Haskins is not really – we saw him run. He gets out of the pocket. I think he's aware. I think he's more aware, situational awareness.
Yeah.
But he's not Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. No. He's not one of these guys. And Mason gets called a statue or statuesque. Mason's taken 16 sacks in regular season games in those 9 starts. Haskins in 13 has taken 49 sacks, which is just unbelievable, holding on to the ball too long, this and that. But, hey, that may still be valuable experience. Failure and mistakes, that's how you learn, and that's how these quarterbacks have to learn. This is the way Ben was when he was younger. He was getting hit like a pinata, and he wasn't allowed to throw 60 times in a game, which we hope we don't see even with old Ben.
Yep.
So that's all I got to say about the quarterbacks. Running backs, Brian, everybody's so sold on Kalen Ballage making this team, and I look at a guy that, yeah, he's a veteran running back, but this is his fourth team, and it didn't look like he was a very high-priority free agent for anyone else, and the Steelers could easily release him and stash him on the practice squad. And that's, I'm looking at it from a business decision. Now, here's the other business decision. Benny Snell has not been healthy, not been able to practice. That man is going to injured reserve, if I had to take a guess, and Ballage then has a spot because of that reason, which would mean Ballage probably has to get released first, I believe, unless they do something premature with Snell. But I'm going to take that back because they changed the injured reserve rules. If you recall, that was something similar. Yep. Steven Johnson, Bud Dupree. Dupree had to be on the 53, and then in order for him to be eligible to come back from injured reserve. But they've changed a lot of that, so... Just take that with a grain of salt. I don't know how the heck that's playing out this year, because if they put him on before the 53, then maybe he can't return. Snell, that is. So we'll see. I don't think Snell just gets cut. Everybody has like this thing with like cutting everybody. Cut Rudolph, he's a bum. Cut Snell, he's a bum. And it's like, pump the brakes on that. I think they only keep 3 running backs. We're going to talk about this more following the Panthers game. We obviously know Najee Harris is in. Anthony McFarland has a defined role. There's 3 guys, I think, battling for 1 spot, potentially 2. And that's Snell, Ballage, and then, of course, Jalen Samuels. And I think Jalen Samuels, they could keep him and Ballage. And then I say, well, what else do you keep here? Let me parlay that with the other skill position with the wide receivers so I can get you on here. 4 of those spots are locked up. You got Juju, you got Claypool, you got Deontay Johnson, you got James Washington. Ray McLeod, I don't know for sure that his job is safe, but I also don't know that Matthew Sexton has shown enough to be a wide receiver.
But wasn't that a nice damn return, though?
He's been great.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
He's way better than Ryan Switzer. He's what I wanted Ryan Switzer to be.
Yes.
And if he could play in the slot... but they've shown Matt Canada wants guys that can run the ball, and Ray's been coming in, and they do, or the screenplay. We had a really nice one. Cody White makes a nice block there on the edge, and it really padded Haskins' stats for this game because Haskins only goes 4-7 for 56, 30 of that on the Ray McLeod play, so then it's only 3 passes, 26 yards. Not a whole lot getting generated there. I get the competition he's playing with. That's not part of the conversation here is now who's going to make the team. I wouldn't say Ray's safe, but he's probably safest of everyone who's left with the wide receivers, because the only guy that's really wowing me now has got to be somebody that replaces him as a kick and punt returner.
Yeah. Start with the running backs. I don't know what's going to – Yeah. Benny Snell is what? Is this third year?
Third year. So he has 2 years left on his contract, which is why I think they just don't dump him.
Two?
Well, this season and next season.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, this year and next
year. Yeah, right. 4 year rookie contract. So. Right.
So that's what I agree. I don't think that they'll dump him. I think that they will IR him. If they IR him, it'll be whatever makes it possible for him to have the ability to come back, whatever that process ends up being. I agree with you on all that. I think Balazs probably picks up that third spot. I agree. I think Anthony McFarland has more of a defined role than I thought he would, because I still see some of the same things in his running that I saw last year, which is a little more scattered and not always looking to just go, looking to bounce and do things that ends up not working. But, you know, he's got the speed. He's got, you know, he's got the history with Canada. I think he's got a defined role in this offense that they're going to use. And I don't see a need for more than three running backs because Najee Harris is going to be a three down back. He's not coming off the field except for occasional spot breaks, right?
Yeah. And let me cut in there real quick. If anything, it means they've been bringing Derek Watt. They bring McFarland out at the same time as Harris. This isn't just a single back type rotation. So
right.
That's where McFarland actually has more of a role. But McFarland is the primary backup, though. I don't, you know, for all the reasons you said, plus being a second year player.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. It's got to be Balazs or Snell, in my opinion, not even Samuels.
No, I agree. I think Samuels is if there's a casualty, I think it's Samuels. And not to mention, I'm just not overly impressed with what he's done. I know he had some decent runs. I know everybody wants to go back and think about the Patriots game and what he did in that game. But that seems to be more the exception than the rule with him. So I'm not – I think Samuels is a likely casualty of this process. And whether it's Benny – I can't call Benny Snell a bum. He hasn't gotten a chance to play because he's been hurt. That doesn't make him a bum, right?
No. And he played in that terrible offense with that offensive line last year where they asked him to just come in and gain a yard when everybody knows it's a running play. I mean,
I'm not the same Benny Snell fan as our compatriot from Kentucky, but I think he was perfectly suited as a backup, and that's fine. A change of pace or whatever, as a power back, whatever we could use him for. So I think he probably goes to IR. Balazs probably makes the team. And, you know, that may change through the year unless Balazs really impresses, in which case Benny Snell never comes back off of IR. You know?
Yeah.
And he gets a free pass. You redshirt him for the year or whatever. But with the wide receivers, yeah. I mean, we've said from the get-go, it's going to be tough for a wide receiver to break into this group. You gotta blow somebody's doors off. This is a stacked group of wide receivers and has been since the beginning of camp. It's just tough to find that additional spot for somebody to come in and make some hay. I will tell you that young man Sexton has made the biggest splash with the couple of returns that he has had that have been very nice. But I don't know that he's done enough as a receiver to make room on the team for him. Right. Not when you've got Ray Ray, who's doing the same things. Mm-hmm. And we just have to see where, you know, what they look at it. You know, this is one of those. His chance is going to be in this last game. You know, if he can make some nice catches, if he can do some stuff to elevate him above the others, he might be able to make the team. But is he going to make it over to Ray Ray? I don't think so.
That's tough.
I just don't think so.
I don't see him keeping six either because there's just, especially on defense, you've got a lot of jack of all trades, master of none type players like Brooks. I think they like Mollett enough that they're going to keep him there, and they have to maybe keep him, particularly if he's I didn't hear anything else about their injury. We don't get an injury report, but they did show it on the scoreboard that said he was questionable to return. And Mollett ends up playing. Let me see, not to just jump to defense. Well, to jump to defense, because a lot of our other breakdowns, offensive line, it's going to come on the next show. So as we put a bow on some of this, Mollett played all of two snaps. So I was right. He was out there and then he wasn't. He played the fewest snaps of anyone on defense on Saturday. And he was basically out there almost as like the first sub-package guy. So that forced their hand to do some other things. There were some other interesting notes here too, because like Rico Bussey only got in for one play. I thought he had really looked pretty solid as a receiver, but they really worked in Anthony Johnson. The reason they're doing this, they got to trim five more guys by 4 p.m. on Tuesday. So I think Johnson is one of the ones they really had to evaluate. I do think as I go down this list, most of the offensive linemen played about three quarters of the game. Chukwuma Okorafor, Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green. Dan Moore played just one snap shy of those guys who played 48, because Banner plays fewer snaps than Ben. He only played 12. And I don't know if he was feeling something or it's a precaution, but I was a little concerned with that. James Washington got a lot of play, 43 snaps, and Juju got 41. Deontay got 33. Rudolph was out there with 32. Cody White, 25. Another guy with Johnson. I saw him out there quite a bit, made some nice blocks, may have earned himself an opportunity to play one more game. So we shall see. I think Rashawn Coward was in the same territory with 25 snaps. They wanted to see more from him. Zach Gentry, I don't think he's one of those five that'll end up going right away here. And we'll see what ends up happening. We still have the specialists and some other things, but the main thing I think I'm going to be looking at, You have Trey Norwood has been one of the primary backups. He saw time Saturday over Miles Killebrew, who was basically out there with, I hate to say it, but the future grocery baggers, bricklayers, and insurance salesmen. So,
which one of them becomes the new Jordan Dangerfield?
That's a great question. Norwood really has Norwood has a shot at this as even like a late round pick. It's kind of he's been impressive. I don't think guys like Robert Spillane are in danger, but it didn't necessarily look great. But the guys he was playing next to weren't exactly inspiring at times either. Carlos Davis, I think, is on the bubble. Isaiah Loudermilk continues to impress me with his motor He doesn't stop. Quincy Roach, he was getting close to, but he was making some pressure there, kind of collapsing on the edge there. But he's a guy that's a work in progress. Lafayette Pitts got some time. Shakur Brown, who we like the pickup as an undrafted guy, I think he's practice squad bound. We'll see what else he ends up doing here in the very near future. And the rest of this, I don't think I need to belabor any of it. We're going to see the five names that end up getting cut off of here, like the one wide receiver, Simmons, basically just plays special teams, or Ulysses Gilbert only plays special teams. Those are the ones that really stand out to me as you're in danger. You're in danger of not making this team. I like Buddy Johnson only plays special teams also, but on the same token, he's a rookie. Ulysses is entering year three, and if he can't usurp some of these snaps from some of these other guys, like a Jameer Jones or whatever, that are playing out there, it's a very uphill battle when you're talking about going from 85 down to 80 and then 80 to 53. We'll see if we have if we have 16 on a practice squad, then you're really only talking about trimming about a dozen names from the original 90-ish or so or whatever it was. So we shall see. That's the other thing I was saying about Ballage too. You're going to have that rule where if you have enough linemen on the roster on game day that are active on game day, you get to add two more players so that from that 53 make it 55 to pull off your practice squad to have there on game days. And you could last year, I think they could do that twice. Player was eligible for them to do that twice without having to bring them up to the active roster. And that's where I could see them kind of stashing Ballage. I don't feel that he's really in any danger of some other team poaching him unless they're full of injuries. Somebody would have already probably done so. I think if Snell got released, somebody had scouted him in the process. You've already seen Ballage bounce around a few other teams. Most of the teams are saying pass. Snell hasn't gone through that process. Somebody will throw a dart at him if he were healthy. So that's where I'm going at with that. Long-winded thought, Brian, but that's where I am until we get to this game. This is kind of serves as your preview for the Panthers game too, because you're not going to see Ben, you're not going to see Joe Hayden, you're not going to see Cam Hayward, you're not going to see any of these guys play. And they're going to take about 20 days or whatever to get ready for the Buffalo Bills for week one.
Yep. That's the truth. We all know what the fourth preseason game is, or third as it would now become.
Yeah,
Week
zero, you know, week zero throws us off. So it's technically going to be week three coming up, and I always think of this was just week three because there's three games. Yeah, it's got me all messed up too, man.
Yeah, but you know, it's the Panthers preseason game, which has become a annual tradition, is always the same thing. It's always the same thing. It's last chance for guys to make their case who are either on the bubble or are trying to not make their case for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but for some other team to pick them up when their asses get cut. You know, because that's just the way it is. It's harsh but true. So it'll be a lot of names that people either don't recognize at all because they haven't been watching until the fourth quarter because they're not two percenters.
2 percenter in preseason's rough, man.
That is, it's hard to be a 2 percenter in preseason. You know, we'll see. It still will be entertaining to see if guys can make that elevation, especially in the first half. Really, you get to the second half, those guys are playing for other teams. That's what they're playing for. They're playing to get on other teams because I don't think anybody's going to make an impression against that level of play from the other team and end up sticking on the roster. It's going to be the first half of this game that makes their case. And if they don't get in the first half of the game, my expectation is they're not going to be on the team.
Yeah, and I had one last fleeting thought that has nothing to do with anything steeped in reality. And Well, I know, like most of the things. We know the referees weren't calling a whole lot of holding in the game. They're back to regular season form, and it's pretty pathetic.
They called holding early, right? They called a couple holding calls early.
Yeah.
And then they decided to go to – look, you're going to get me in preseason form where I'm going to have to, like, stop myself because we're a family-friendly show and the F-bombs are going to drop, and I'm going to get mad because – just be consistent.
He's going to take the ice pick and start yodeling.
I got it, stupid rap.
Oh, man, you're channeling. That's going to be a double yoy. That's not even going to be a yoy. It's going to be a double
clearly, yoy. I have gotten a reputation, as we've already learned on Twitter. People know my opinion on the refs as they are adding me.
Yes.
When the refs do bad things.
Yes,
and I love it. Keep doing it because it's true. I gotta update my gifts though because my gifts are fat me and I gotta have my new stealth me.
And I just gotta trim down so then I can be made into meme format. So the last thought here, and we talk about the Steelers and disrespect, and I've been talking about it all off season. And it's not Ben Roethlisberger. It's not even Alex Highsmith because people are like, oh look, Ingram's gonna be paired with Watt. And it's like, yeah, just wait. Just wait until you see. It's Minkah Fitzpatrick, man. Not only did John Madden do him wrong, or not John Madden himself, but the Madden football people at EA Sports, they have like 10 safeties ranked better than him. How about the NFL top 100? This guy's an all-pro, and he's 52. 52, man. And don't even get us started on Ben Roethlisberger, not even making the list.
So. I I'm just not.
I can't waste
100 for years because
that's all the more that I care to say about it.
Can I say one more thing? Is the term circle jerk? Is that not family friendly?
I think it starts to read into certain things.
There you go, because that's what the NFL top 100 is.
Daddy,
gigantic CJ. That's what it is.
Daddy, what does that mean?
Yeah. Heard
it from Brian.
Him.
Yeah.
Don't tell him.
Kyle Juszczyk made this list, dude. Kyle Juszczyk, fullback. Okay. Is he one of the best 100 players in the NFL? I guess fullbacks are people too, but 19 receptions for 202 yards. He scores 4 touchdowns. It's like, I understand he's been a Pro Bowl guy. I don't know. It kind of makes me tongue-in-cheek here. The other quarterbacks, I'm not going through it. That could be a whole other show. I don't care to waste time on this subjective. It's just the amount of disrespect. Everyone's been calling for the demise of the Steelers for far too long, and we got to see a preview, albeit against what I think was some backup players on what will be one of the worst teams in all of football this year. You want to see the Steelers go out there and manhandle the situation, and they did. So I'm happy with it. Brian, man, thanks for joining me once again, my friend. Let's do this again later this week. Let's hope that nothing gets cut short here. So, that's something. I recorded the game for when I came back home, and it was like the recording was NFL Network, and they cut that off, and I was like, holy crap. So good thing I had the Game Pass to go to. They switched over to the KDK feed. And they didn't even have the full game. It was like the condensed version. But the end of that game, I'm not worried about. Everybody's like, what happened with the score and this and that? The reason we aren't talking about it is like that it's pointless to talk about, really.
You're talking about fourth quarter guys who, as you said, the grocery baggers, the car salesman, the insurance salesman.
Car salesman, too.
Their car salesman, insurance salesman were better than our car salesman, insurance salesman.
Yeah.
Oh, well, who cares?
Hopefully the young man got a solid education. He used to joke about the college athlete taking basket weaving 101. Hopefully he could turn that into a profitable business with that education that they got. But all joking aside, I mean, the onside kick thing, that was disgusting. But other than that, it's like the only thing that really did that cost Haskins from getting a little bit more a drive to show, maybe a 2-minute drill drive to show some more of his wares. And that was about it.
And I do want to call this out because I haven't said it yet. Other than that, special teams has been really daggone good in this preseason. I mean, the coverage teams have been really solid. I mean, it helps to have the triple P guy there, you know, with the, you know, our Pittsburgh fat punter. But that's, I mean, 50 yards. What did he punted? Boom. It's just awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah. It was one of my picks to watch, man.
Yeah. I'm getting me a triple P fat punter helmet signed some point in time. You just watch. And I don't have a single punter signature in my domicile. This is going to be the first one.
I got the kicker football up there somewhere.
Well, I got kickers. I got the Quadzilla right here. I mean, so I got kickers, you know.
Well,
have punters.
I have that Duck Hodges jersey, so I'm thinking about getting a new nameplate for it.
Okay, there you
go. Switch out number 6 there and make it a Harvin. Harvin, I was looking and now I already forgot. I think it's just Harvin. I don't think he puts Harvin 3 on the back yet. So I'll have to double check that.
He's got to make the team first.
Nice shot from behind where you get his whole posterior as he's ready to punt. And it's like, oh, baby, look at this. Look at the ham hocks on this guy. It's just
wrong.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
No, it's not, though. That's the reason he was the Ray Guy winner is because he's got these just ginormous legs that if you were to beat him in combat back in medieval times, you would pull from the hip and swing that as your new weapon. You would just take that his leg and beat somebody to death with
it. I'm just telling you. Percy Harvin III, Mr. P, Triple P yourself, please, at some point this year, you need to lay a out. You need to knock somebody the hell out.
That would be nice. Well, once again, folks, my name's Joe, his name's Brian. We're up against it, my friend. We're going to do this again later this week. We'll break down some roster predictions and whatnot, and we'll tell you probably instead of the good, bad, and ugly, the ugly, ugly, and uglier of whatever goes on for this final preseason game.
Oh, yeah.
Until next time, as always, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.